Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. An update on a Washington University entrepreneurial program. It's called Idea Labs. It's a bioengineering design and entrepreneurship incubator founded in 2013. Students, faculty, and staff, and St. Louis entrepreneurs team up to tackle unmet needs in healthcare delivery and clinical medicine. Joining me in studio from Idea Labs are Ian Schellebakes, president of Idea Labs St. Louis, Stephen Linderman is president of the National Network, Erica Barnell is CEO with Genoscopy, which was created at Idea Labs. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Don.
Well, it sounds like after 3 years, this idea, Stephen, I'll start with you, is really maturing as a concept.
Idea Labs has really been growing far faster than anybody anticipated over the last 3 years. We started out as medical students basically listening to clinicians complain about how things weren't done very well in the hospital, and we would have ideas for ways to improve it, but no traction, no ability to prototype and develop these designs that we were thinking of. And so we put together Idea Labs initially as a way to form these new technologies and see if they work, and it's exploded out from there. So now we have teams of medical students and engineers and business students all coming together around clinical problems. Throughout the year, we help them assess those needs, develop prototypes, build out business plans and provisional patents with some pro bono legal support from Hush Blackwell. And then at our big Demo Day event, which is coming up this year on Monday, they present what they've been doing publicly for the first time and launch out as companies.
Are you still a student at WashU?
Yes, I'm an MD-PhD student currently doing my PhD in orthopedic surgery and biomedical engineering.
Well, congratulations to you for all of that. That's quite a mouthful, not only to speak about, but also a task to undertake. Let me take you, Ian, here. You still a student there?
That's correct. So although I'm not pursuing the MD portion, I have the PhD portion that I'm hoping to finish here in August.
All right. Well, what are you working on at present?
For Idea Labs or in my own
academic career? Idea Labs.
So I am the president of the St. Louis chapter. So this was the original founding chapter of Idea Labs that has since now been the model that has been spreading across the nation at different locations. But so I'm tasked with running the activities in the program here in St. Louis,
right,
across St. Louis.
How many people are involved here?
I think at last count, we have about 150 students that are both leading and running the nonprofit and also as participants. So we have about 120 participants who are actively working on tackling these different clinical problems.
All right, let's turn to Erica now and tell us a little bit about where Genoscopy stands at the moment. You're a CEO of that company created at Idea Labs.
Correct. So we founded the company in 2015 through Idea Labs. And we're non-invasively diagnosing colorectal cancer using stool samples. This past year, we have successfully completed a pilot study where we evaluated 10 patients with colorectal cancer and 10 patients without colorectal cancer. And we were able to identify a subset of biomarkers that are associated with the disease. And actually, tomorrow we'll be filing our utility patent for protection of that technology.
Are you still going to school or are you beyond that?
Yes. No, I'm a MD-PhD student at WashU as well.
Let me be indelicate and ask if Genoscopy is making any money yet.
Well, currently we've raised over $80,000. We spent $20,000 on the pilot study and we're seeking an additional $90,000 for this summer's validation study.
But you've not gotten to the point where it's earning any money for the company.
No, we expect to obtain FDA approval in 2019 and then begin selling our product as soon as that is accomplished.
Stephen, I raise that indelicate question simply because I wonder, you're affiliated with the university, and if you develop something that goes on to become a great commercial success, how does Washington University cash in on that, or does it?
So Washington University has actually taken a very unique and forward-thinking perspective where they waive all of their intellectual property and equity rights in these companies. And by doing that, the students from around the university are much more engaged with forming these companies, with getting this training experience in addition to hopefully a successful commercial opportunity. So the university hopes to improve students' training and ideally get some donations back longer term, but they're not taking an upfront cost.
All right. Back to Ian. What are some of the projects that are being worked on right now at Idea Labs?
Right now. So the type of problems that our teams tackle can really run the gamut by being like very general to being very specific. We have a technology one right now where students are working to actually empirically measure pain. So that's using some skin characteristics to do that. We have another team who's working, and so they're called No Pain. We have another team called MD Handoff, which they're working on trying to smooth the process of hospitals sending each other medical documents and to be able to actually present that in a way that's useful to physicians. Another team is, and I encourage other people to jump in, but we have also one of the more interesting teams this year is someone actually working on trying to prevent or maybe limit and reduce concussions in sports injuries. And so they're actually trying to create a new type of helmet that can actually help warn a user, for example, of an incoming impact from behind, and so that it gives them that microfraction to be able to react and to try to avoid this serious concussion problem.
Yeah. That obviously is a major issue today. It's getting a lot of conversation across the country. Just wonder, do you get any assistance from the NFL, for instance, and any kind of research into this area?
Yeah, I mean, I think if anyone in the NFL is listening, we'd certainly welcome any conversations. The network that we've created here in St. Louis and across the nation, we're always growing it to include the necessary stakeholders for all these different problems. And so for this given problem, maybe we don't have that, but a lot of times we can leverage our connections, for example, at Barnes Jewish Hospital to find the right physicians to be able to actually lead and help with building out these technologies.
This is part of the whole entrepreneurial process, isn't it? You know, learning how to seek out those who might be interested in having a stake in some of these products.
Absolutely, and I think that's part of the informal training that we're actually giving these students, is that especially a lot of them, they're only used to interacting in the academic environment of with their professors and with other students, maybe for a class project, but it's really fun to see them get out of their shell and present to a bunch of strangers and then actually go to coffee with them and, you know, have to deal with the kind of real world situations.
Erica, how difficult was that for you and your team as you were getting started?
I think that there were a few aspects of entrepreneurship that I did not understand prior to going through the process. Two specific things that come to mind are that the good things that people say about your company are much less important than the bad things people say about your company or the criticism you have. And the second thing is that you kind of have to throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. So always have a contingency plan and a contingency plan to that contingency plan. So,
yeah. Also, if you would, just give me some information or idea how the teams work. How do they work together?
So that was a very interesting process. I was a team leader last year when we developed this problem, and we actually were introduced to people at the business school, undergraduates, medical students, and physicians, and we had access to their information, their resumes, and we kind of hand-selected a personalized team to solve each individual problem. So I selected an MBA student, another MD-PhD student, and an undergraduate, and we were able to successfully accomplish.
Is that typically the size of a team, 4 or 5 people?
I think it's typically a little bit larger.
That's about right. It's typically in the 4 to 6 people range, spanning medicine and engineering and business.
Right.
And you would, and as in your case, you would select people based on what?
It was kind of filling in the gaps of things that we think we need. I have zero expertise in understanding costs and financial projections. And so I definitely needed someone with that business expertise. But basically understanding your problem and trying to make sure that you can solve it in all directions.
Stephen, it sounds a little bit kind of a hit or miss proposition. You pick people you think are going to work or with expertise that you don't think you have yourself.
So thankfully, we get a bunch of advice along the way. We start out by forming these teams around clinician-provided problems, so around something that actually has some clinical traction. And then we encourage teams to include at least one engineering graduate, one engineering undergraduate, a medical student, and a business student on their teams. So we try to pull in people from different backgrounds. One thing that goes along with what Ian was saying earlier about having 150 students on board is we also have a very large mentor network, thankfully, of about 100 physicians at Barnes Jewish and SSM that have been participating. We also have engineering faculty between SLU and WashU that have been helping out with developing the teams and developing the program. And one of the things that we're realizing from that is that while they're there as mentors with their own expertise, they're also there learning how to move forward with commercial entities and with entrepreneurship, because most people within academia don't really understand what the next steps are for moving a company forward. And so that's something that Idea Labs can help teach to the faculty, as well as gain their expertise for our teams.
What about working with companies, organizations, whatever, that are not in the medical field per se?
We've thankfully had a lot of support from all aspects of the St. Louis community. We work, we're headquartered in the Cortex District at CIC at CET. Our big event, Demo Day on Monday, is coming up in the evening at CIC at 4240, and that's open to the public. And so we encourage all of the listeners here to come out to the event and really see some of the exciting things that teams have been working on.
Such as, I mean, what is going to be there to be seen?
So we'll have about 20 teams from across the country. One of the ones from out of town is called AdrenaCard. They're working similar to an EpiPen to be able to inject epinephrine into people. They can instead change that from a relatively bulky device to something the size of a credit card that you can put in your wallet. And so it makes it far easier for patients to be able to receive medications. Ian had mentioned several teams earlier. We also have alumni showcases, like Datadog is one of our teams from a couple years ago that then moved on to the Launch Accelerator in San Francisco and is kind of based here in St. Louis and San Francisco at the moment, working on anxiety treatment for patients with PTSD or other anxiety-prone disorders, so that you can wear a heart rate monitor, detect based on that when they're having an attack, and then initiate cognitive behavioral therapies like breathing exercises, as well as tracking where the patient is, when it is, having them journal. So when they go back into the physician, you have real data to talk about and think about how to improve the patient's disease status.
I want to pick up on those points, and I will do that in just a moment. First, have to take a break. We're talking about this entrepreneurial project at Washington University called Idea Labs. With me in studio from that organization, Ian Schellebakes, Erica Barnell, and Stephen Linderman. Welcome back. Continue the conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd certainly love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you would prefer to send a tweet, we'll take that at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Ian Schellebakes, that is, Erica Barnell, and Stephen Linderman. Ian, let me come to you for where these ideas come from. Are they homegrown within Idea Labs, or do these ideas come from some of the people you're partnering with at the medical institutions in town?
Absolutely. The short answer is all of those. Uh-huh. I think the majority of them do come from directly from the hospitals and the clinics themselves. So, the two main institutions we partner with right now are Barnes Jewish Healthcare as well as SSM Hospital Network. So what we're doing is we're actively soliciting from the nurses, the physicians, problems in the clinic. And this is through our med students that are in the clinic actively for their education. But we do also have some teams that come in with a preconceived idea / problem that they'd like to tackle.
Well, you probably get more ideas than you have time to work on. How do you weed them out? How do you determine what you're going to tackle and what not?
Yeah, so that's actually for the teams to decide themselves. So we actually have this repository of all the problems. So I think at last count, we had about 140 different problems. And then at the beginning of the year, after we choose the project leaders, it's up to them and their team to actually choose which problem they think is most impactful and has most chance of success to be solved.
And how much time typically would a team take to deal with a problem before maybe moving on to something else?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. In our program formally, we try to focus the first month or two of our formal program on actually assessing that to make sure that the problem has some promise, both that it's treating many people, has a clinical need, but also has the potential to make an impact in the market and has a market need. But actually, we do also have a lot of teams that They might, after a half a year of the program, they might actually find out that maybe the opportunity isn't there, and so they'll switch. And so the nature of the program is such that it's able to help students even if they transition at such a more late stage.
Erica, can you give me some sense of the process that you and your team went through to come up with genoscopy?
Right. So I was different from the typical team that goes through Idea Labs. I had worked at Washington University for about 4 years prior to becoming a medical student. And through my research in Dr. Mark Maneri's lab, I found a technology that I thought was interesting and wanted to apply it to colorectal cancer. So I came with a preconceived problem.
Uh-huh. And chose your team, as you indicated earlier, accordingly. We have a call here that raises an interesting, you'll think I'm preoccupied with the financial part of this, and maybe I am. I find it fascinating. But let's bring in Lisa calling from the Central West End. Lisa, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Don. I love your show. Thank you so much. Thanks for having this on. This is fascinating. I was just wondering how one could invest in some of these companies. I mean, do we come to Demo Day and then just talk to the people? And then can you tell us where Demo Day is again? I'll take my answer off the air, but this is fascinating. I love this show.
Well, I'm glad you love it. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, thank you very much. So Demo Day is a great portal to get a sense of what different teams are doing. We're actually adding on to Demo Day is going to be at CIC at 4240, which is the corner of Duncan and Boyle Avenues in the Cortex District downtown. It's taking place this Monday, April 25th from 6 to 9 p.m., and we're adding on to that public portion this year with an investor conference throughout the day, where we're actually bringing together some of our alumni teams and other top biotech teams from around St. Louis and around our network to meet with investors and strategics like Medtronic, Boston Scientific, that are coming into town specifically to look at these problems and think about how to move them forward.
But I think I'll just add for individuals like Lisa who might be interested in being that angel investor to really help a team get started, that going to Demo Day and making the introduction and meeting the teams is definitely the first step. And then we have other mentors and a later program that can help facilitate that interaction.
Is that a difficult thing to do? Would it be difficult for someone listening right now to just say, I really like genoscopy and I want to put X amount of dollars into it?
So there are some certain federal regulations.
That's kind of what I was getting at, yeah.
I think my conception, which I don't want to be like considered an expert on this, but from my understanding is that the limitations, for example, say that you can only have 50 non-accredited investors, which are people that have worth of like $1 million. But for something like an angel investor, it doesn't seem like you have to be one of those accredited professional investors to be able to make that commitment. And I will also add there are programs like iSelect Fund, which allows individuals to be able to actually pool their resources together to make one larger investment.
Erica, St. Louis has a fairly robust venture capital market. Is that something that can be brought into this mix?
Yeah, so we're actually seeking out investment from a lot of the companies around St. Louis that are angel investors or family investors. And so, like I said, we are in a raise right now from family, friends, and local investors to try to get our validation study off the ground.
I would assume you have a website where people could make contact with you if they chose to?
We do. It's genoscopy.com.
We'll put a link to that on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
In addition, if you're...
And to you guys, too. I'm sure you have one as well.
Yes, we do at idealabsincubator.org.
We'll put all of that on our website. Go ahead.
So in addition to being able to invest in individual teams, Idealabs itself is a 501c3 nonprofit, so tax charitable nonprofit that's very simple to donate to through PayPal, or we can provide plenty more information on the website or at Demo Day.
What is the most promising project in your mind that you've got in the works right now?
I think the one that currently has the most traction is a company called eFarmix that came out of the program and is now actively working with over 1,000 patients here in Missouri. They connect physicians and hospital staff with patients through text messages and phone calls. So automated systems that are disease-specific and clinically validated using randomized controlled trials. So, for instance, for a patient with CHF, congestive heart failure, they would ask the patient's body weight every few days, because as weight goes up, that's indicating that those patients might be retaining fluid. And then they'll follow up on the patients that are starting to have a weight increase with asking more about symptoms, actively going through the clinical checklists so that you can triage patients and have physicians or nurses get back in touch with those that need the most help.
Erica, you've already indicated that you're seeking funds to continue. Where do you go from here, assuming those funds are forthcoming? What happens next for genoscopy?
Right. So we are initiating a 400-patient trial, which will allow us to get to our Class B round. So we hope to engage larger companies, national companies like Illumina or Bayer, or just a larger pharmaceutical company that will be willing to take on an FDA trial.
Right. What are you most excited about, Ian?
Yeah, I think in general, Idea Labs, I think it's the nonprofit itself, I think, is a very new and different thing. I can talk about that or about specific teams if you prefer.
Well, whatever you think you're most excited about.
Yeah, so I think it's easy to forget that Idea Labs itself is a startup, and we're a nonprofit mm-hmm. with the mission to help students to learn entrepreneurship and create medical device companies that ultimately helps impact healthcare. But I think the way that we're doing it is very different than the typical approach. And that's because we really focus on addressing a problem and not investing in a solution. And so that kind of, I think that's more than a semantic difference. And being able to design a program and a company and the proper support structure to execute that through the companies that we produce, I think is a very, very exciting thing.
Is the concept working as well as you had envisioned it working when you got this started?
I mean, to me, so I was one of the first participants, and I was so floored mm-hmm. by the concept that I joined the leadership and now eventually am the president. But I think if you look at our metrics, which for if you were to compare us against like a investment firm, for example, the metrics as far as like the follow-on investment of our investments in teams are actually on par. So for example, through the money we've spent on teams like Erica, those teams have gone on to actually invest and get follow-on investments of about 20x. So
compared to when we were actually founding the program, this has far exceeded anybody's initial expectations.
Really?
Last year, we spent $80,000, less than the cost of a single faculty member, to support about 133 students on 23 teams. 10 of those are now active as companies that are moving
wow.
forward, getting investment. And we've realized that it's not just a St. Louis-based problem. This is something that's happening all over the country. And so we now have chapters in Boston between Harvard and MIT, one in Philadelphia at University of Pennsylvania, yeah. and one at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. And we're starting new ones. We have several students coming in from University of Michigan and others to Demo Day to help think about how to grow this, not just to piggyback off of the infrastructure that we've developed, but also so teams in any one city can get connected in with investors and mentors from around the entire country to help move them forward as effectively and efficiently as possible.
You're establishing the template for that right here, obviously. I want to take one more call, but before I do, we have an email from Rose in St. Louis. Very quick question, quick answer. Anyone working on artificial cartilage because of the interest in that because of sports injuries and arthritis?
That's an interesting question. My research lab at Washington University is working on things like that. I work in orthopedics, and Farsh Gilak's lab is doing a ton of work on that. Ideal Labs tends to focus on things that don't require quite so much wet lab support, more devices and diagnostics and software, because that is a little bit lower overhead and something where we can easily plug students into it and they can make real traction.
All right. I'm going to take this quick call from Dick calling from St. Louis. I think it'll be a good way to end our discussion. Go ahead, Dick. Dick, are you there? I guess not. What Dick apparently wanted to talk about was the significance of the fact that this is all starting here in St. Louis, which is working very, very hard to become exactly what you're doing, come home to organizations such as yours. And it's being very successful at it. You mentioned Cortex, and, you know, it's got a great start over in there in that community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, everyone talks about Silicon Valley and the next Silicon Valley, but I think that's not really appropriate because they obviously have something very unique. I think the unique thing that St. Louis has is this extreme strength in medical device and biological technology. And so I think we've already seen some metrics that have put St. Louis as the top five city for biotech startups. And so I really believe that St. Louis is on the way to becoming the leader in that field. And so we love being a part of that ecosystem, and we're very proud of what the St. Louis City and we've accomplished together.
Honestly, I think that being in a city that didn't have nearly as much biotech entrepreneurial presence 5 or 8 years ago has been a great feeding ground for Idea Labs to be able to form, grow with the city and the entrepreneurial community and develop that template. If we were to start in Silicon Valley or in Boston, I don't think that Idea Labs would have gotten off the ground.
Erica, as Genoscopy grows and flourishes, will you stay in St. Louis and keep headquarters here?
Absolutely. I'm born and raised in St. Louis, and I love being here. And I think that, like Ian said, that this is a very unique place to be, specifically with Barnes Jewish Hospital, you know, with the medical schools, both at SLU and WashU, and then with Cortex flourishing. Our current location is at BioGenerator, and we have lab space there for free until we become kind of a really solidified company. And I think that generosity that we have here in St. Louis really helps companies like mine get off the ground.
Well, this is all very exciting. I want to thank you all for being with us and bringing us up to speed on Idea Labs. Ian Schellebakes, Erica Barnell, and Stephen Linderman, thank you all for being with us. Best of luck to you. Great to hear from you. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. We'll be right back.